sound of freedom, and we just take it for granted and could not fathom such a thing happening. But the problem is, because we take it for granted, so few Americans are writing legislators or contacting them and letting them know how we feel about these things.
Yes.
And if enough do, maybe we can make a difference.
Yes. Again, very quickly, could you give out your phone number so that people can order the timeline leading to a North American Union?
707-539-8393.
Okay. Well, Orlene, it's been a pleasure having you on our program, and we hope we can stay in touch with you.
Thank you very much, Don, and my pleasure as well. Thank you for the good work you are doing.
Well, thank you, Orlene.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. A family that prays together stays together, and a nation that will pray will stay. Well, that's something to think about as well as something to pray about. This is John W. Spring for Sound Off, hoping you have a wonderful week and a better tomorrow. Remember that Sound Off can also be heard every Sunday evening at 11 p.m. Eastern and 10 p.m. Central on www.am830klaa.com or here in California live at 8 p.m. on Pacific Time on KLAA 830 on the AM dial. Because we are listener-supported, we need your help, so please, if you can, send a contribution to John W. Spring, P.O. Box 18946, Anaheim, California, 92817. Again, that's John W. Spring, P.O. Box 18946, Anaheim, California, 92817. Thank you again.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men are
making it available to our banking system because our entire banking and financial system are on the very edge of collapse. And this is, of course, what they're trying to do is to prevent collapse, to keep the economy going, to prevent us from sliding into recession. They're flooding the world with money. But what happens when you flood the world with money? Why, of course, you create inflation. And what most people don't understand is that the price of fuel has gone up, I think, about 75%, you know, since 2005. The price of wheat has doubled here. The price of corn has almost tripled, you know, in the last couple of years. We have rampant inflation, and the government is simply lying to us about it. They tell us, the core inflation rate's 2.3%, and maybe if you put on fuel and food, it's up to 4%, and they're simply not telling you the truth. They're afraid to tell you the truth because they know that people respond, you know, when they realize that the value of their currency, the value of their life savings, the value of everything that they've put aside for their old age is being progressively eroded, but that's exactly what is happening. And if you have a pension fund, the value of your pension fund is going down right at the present time about 11% a year. Now, they say, oh, but of course, they're making money in the pension fund, and some of them are. Maybe they're making 5 or 6%, so that means you're only losing about 5% of your pension. But as inflation becomes worse and goes up to 15 or 20%, why, of course, you're going to really see the erosion of the value of your pension fund. And then if you have an insurance policy, maybe you've insured your life or the life of a loved one or your home or things of that sort. But the difficulty is with inflation, you get paid back with dollars that are worth a lot less. Well, since we don't see any sign of our regularly scheduled guest, our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. But if you go to Europe today, the European Central Bank and the Bank of England are doing exactly the same thing. They're printing all sorts of money and putting it out into circulation, trying to hold the economic system together. Here in the United States, the Bank of America had a hedge fund. I think it had something like $86 billion. That's B, boy, boiling $1 billion in it, and they closed it down recently because all they had left was about $12 billion. In other words, if you had invested in there, you can't get your money out. The money's gone. The They had so many bad investments, and they simply have gone belly up. The Union Bank of Switzerland, which is the one of the two largest banks in Switzerland, and we always, of course, look on the Swiss banks as solid, you know, they don't take chances, and yet the Union Bank had wrote off about $3 to $4 billion here just a few weeks ago, wrote off another $10 billion this last week. Why? They have these bad loans, they have all of these investments out there that really have no value at all, and the whole world monetary system is on the verge of collapse. We'll be right back here in just a moment.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do you do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout, developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful, attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
We at The Bible Says want to alert the world to the topic of the Mark of the Beast. Soon it will be upon us as an overwhelming surprise. The world is pressing toward a forced one-world religion. The real issue behind this is the union of church and state, nullifying our First Amendment. Americans will have to give up their peculiar beliefs and accept what the new world religious leaders prescribe. In 2005, President Bush signed the Real ID Act, which goes into effect May 11, 2008. Many people believe that this will be the mark of the beast because of the restrictive measures included, which seems to parallel the no buying and selling of Revelations 13:17. In Revelations 14:9, speaking of the mark of the beast, it says, "If any man worship the beast, take notice." It says, "Worship the beast." This issue is about worship, not economics. For a better understanding of this very important topic and to receive your three free books and a free DVD, call 1-888-211-1715. That's 1-888-211-1715.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here. I don't know what happened to our guest, but, give us a call. If you have a question or comment, our number is 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. We're talking about what's happening economically. Now, the government is lying to us about the rate of inflation. It's really closer to 11.5% at the present time. And then, of course, the employment. They tell us, oh, my goodness, the employment's fine, but all you need to do is realize, of course, the number of people who've been laid off as far as home building. Home building was almost 25% of our gross domestic product, our GDP, and of course, home building has really been markedly limited. In fact, the new homes that are scheduled to be built are the lowest I think we've had in about 12 to 15 years. In other words, people are a little skeptical to build new homes unless, of course, they've already been paid for. In other words, but spec homes, people are uncertain. Are people going to go out and buy these homes, especially when we see what's happening and the tremendous numbers of foreclosures that are coming down the line? And, of course, what's happening is, of course, all these homes that are foreclosed on are going to be up on the market. There's going to be a lot of homes for sale, and there's not going to be that many buyers. People are not going to be able to get these creative loans that they have in the past, the ARMs, the adjustable rate mortgages, or nothing down and nothing for 5 years, all these things to just get people into the homes. And of course, as if people, you know, are not going to be buying homes, why, these spec homes are just going to be sitting there. There are really hundreds of thousands of spec homes out all across America, and they're not selling. And the same thing is true with many of the homes that are being foreclosed on. Certainly the bank gets them back, but then they've got to sell them, and they've got to knock the price way down. So all across America, home prices are falling. Some areas quite rapidly, Phoenix, San Diego. Other areas, such as the area I live, why it really has not had that much of an impact. The homes are not selling well, but the prices have not decreased that dramatically, maybe down 1 or 2 or 3%, but nothing like it is in areas like Phoenix and San Diego. Las Vegas has a real problem, way overbuilt. Tremendous amount of homes there, just all completed and sitting there empty. Well, our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791, and we see people being laid off, certainly in the housing industry. We see them being laid off in the financial industry, and many of the large financial companies are laying off more and more people because they're just not generating that much money. People are being laid off in the drug pharmaceutical industry as well, because, of course, the pharmaceutical industry has had it pretty good in the past, and they've had their patents and have been able to sell these drugs at exorbitant prices. But now, of course, a lot of those patents are running out, and so the pharmaceutical industry is beginning to scale back. And certainly we know that the automotive industry is scaling back. Ford Motor Company now has only 54,000 employees covered by the United Auto Workers, and they're going to try to buy out another 30,000 of those, so they'll only have about 24,000 full-time employees in their factories here. Now, those are 24,000 of the older employees. Basically, if they take on new employees, according to the new contract they have with the union, they can pay these new employees $12 to $15 an hour, and I don't know what they're going to get in the way of pension benefits, but as the economy contracts, people are willing to work for less and less. And the government is not telling you what's really happening. They're telling you about all these jobs that they're creating, but most of the jobs that are being created are not good-paying jobs. They're jobs that pay $10 or $12 an hour. And if you've got a family and you're having to pay rent on a house at $1,000 a month, why, of course, that $10, $12 an hour doesn't go very far. Well, our telephone number, 800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. I'd like to know what you think about the economy. Do you think the economy is doing as well as we're being told? I mean, the president insisted, you know, the economy is doing great. But I do not believe it. Certainly, if you're looking at the sales, they're actually having to discount things at, tremendously just to get people into the stores to sell things here at Christmas time. And still, the sales are down. There's no enthusiasm. And it looks like the profits for our major stores are going to be in real trouble. Certainly, one of our major corporations, Sears, Kmart, they're having real problems. You remember Sears joined together with Kmart, but now they're having real problems. Do we have a caller on the line by any chance? I guess not. Well, our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791, and we would love to hear from you because we don't have our regularly scheduled guest. And if you have another subject you'd like to talk about besides the economy, give us a call at 1-800-259-5791. 1-800-259-5791. But if you look out across America, you find out that some people are joining the army simply it's the only way that they can get a job where they can finance their family. There was an article in the recent issue, weekend issue of the Washington Post, about a 41-year-old man with a couple of children who couldn't get a decent job and make enough to support his family. He joined the Army and, of course, got a $20,000 bonus. They give him 4 weeks of training and ship him off to Iraq or Afghanistan. But at least he has an income for his family, and he feels he's fulfilling his obligation to them. A lot of people out there, ladies and gentlemen, are having real hard time getting a job or getting a job that will pay them enough to maintain their families. Now, in the past, of course, a lot of people have been, you know, able to buy homes, you know, at 2 or 3% interest. And sometimes they didn't even have to make any payments other than the interest for a couple of years. But so many of these people are now having their homes foreclosed on. Henry Paulson, who's the Secretary of the Treasury, gave up his $40 million a year job at Goldman Sachs for a job that pays about $180,000 a year. And he's either a great patriot or he's there, of course, to guide the destruction of our economy, which I think what this is all about. I think they really do intend to destroy the economy of this nation and to transfer the wealth of our people to people living in other countries. In fact, if you read Paul Volcker's recent speech at Stanford University, he talked about how so many people in the third world countries who could never, of course, have lifted themselves out of poverty are able to lift themselves out of poverty and improve their lifestyles now because, of course, America's policy of transferring our jobs and our wealth to other nations. And he wasn't at all against that, other than pointing out that we're going to have some very real problems in the United States because you can't export your manufacturing and you can't export your jobs and you can't devalue your currency, which they're doing. The dollar keeps falling. It's lost between 35 and 40% of its value in the last 3 years without eventually impoverishing the people. And understand that that is exactly what the plan is. And if you haven't read the plan, it's in the Earth Charter, and you've heard me say this before. Go up on the Internet and type in the Earth Charter and look at point 10A. Point 10A. And remember, this is written by some of the most powerful people in our nation, people who are deeply involved in the occult, who have placed the Earth Charter, the scrolls on which it's written, in the Ark of Hope, which is a Luciferian counterpart of the Ark of the Covenant. And of course, this is, you know, transported across the country so people can see it. It is, and of course, the Earth Charter is the new Ten Commandments for America. It's the new Ten Commandments for the world, according to Marie Strong, and of course, according to Gorbachev, who along with Stephen Rockefeller wrote the Earth Charter. It's been certainly presented to the United Nations to be adopted. Fortunately, it wasn't adopted at the international meeting in 2002. But for all intents and purposes, it's exactly what's happening. It talks about the new spirituality. It goes into great detail, you know, about the reconstruction of the world and bringing about this new form of world government. Because the Earth Charter is the antithesis of the Ten Commandments. It's the antithesis of anything American. In fact, the only American who worked on it was Nelson Rockefeller's son, Dr. Stephen Rockefeller. I've heard that he's passed away. Maybe somebody would know whether that's true or not. But the Earth Charter, Charter talks about really taking the wealth of America and transferring it to the other countries. They speak of the equitable distribution of wealth within nations and between nations. How do you equitably redistribute the wealth of the United States? Why, you transfer it to people in third world countries, and you raise their living standards, and you lower our living standards. And this is what's really going on, but they can't tell the American people that. Most Americans would be furious to know that there is a plan to impoverish them and take away their, you know, their life savings and to destroy the value of everything they've worked their whole life for. But that's exactly what is happening today. And as you watch the dollar fall, you realize that most Americans don't understand that is the future, this is the savings, this is the pensions, this is the, you know, the CDs, this is the bonds of the American people being destroyed. Well, our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791, and right here at Genesis. We'll be back, and hope you'll call in 1-800-259-5791. You can choose the subject if you like.
It's like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Through the years of providing water filters to America, you've come to us and we've listened. You asked us to make the water level visible to eliminate the guesswork when refilling the water. We listened. You asked for an elevated base so the system could be used in places beside on the edge of the counter. We listened. You asked us to develop a filter that was made in the USA. We listened. You asked us to include an emergency light for camping and during power outages. We listened. After 9/11, you asked us to develop a filter that was more powerful in removing chemical agents. Again, we listened. Introducing the Berkey Light, the gravity filter requested by America, designed by Americans, and made in America.
Get the Berkey Light, the American water purifier, only $279. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes scholarships, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
Hi, I'm Lynette Brooks, founder of MetaCleanse, the original colon cleanse combining the healing power of flaxseed with the detoxification of bentonite clay. In a perfect world, we would eat natural, healthy foods, but the foods we eat today are not the foods nature intended for us. Fast food is toxic food. I've been producing MetaCleanse for over 20 years, and customers from across the U.S. say that MetaCleanse helps your body detoxify from fast foods as well as other environmental poisons, such as heavy metals and pesticides in the intestinal tract. For centuries, flax has been known as nature's superfood. Even the FDA says flaxseed works to prevent cancer and helps with menopause, weight loss, irritable bowel syndrome, and constipation. A one-month supply of MetaCleanse is available online at MetaCleanse.com. That's MetaCleanse.com for only $22.95 plus shipping and handling. Or call me today at 1-800-317-9547. That's 800-317-9547. Radiant health has never been easier.
Now, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. If you'd like to give us a call, you're going to have open lines the rest of the hour. But we've got Harvey calling from Florida. Hi, Harvey. How are you doing today?
Good, Dr. Stan. How are you?
Doing just great.
Good. I haven't heard too much about your health, but I've been hearing you sound much stronger this last week.
Well, I'm feeling much better, and, you know, I'm about 4 weeks after open-heart surgery, and I'd say I'm doing remarkably well.
Yeah, because when you first came back on the air, you sounded very weak and tired, but every day you get stronger and stronger. God bless you, Dr. Stan.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your prayers and the prayers of so many people out there who have been praying for me, and I think I'm doing remarkably well.
Well, thank God you're on the air. We need you here. We need you here on earth with us, Dr. Stan.
Amen to that. Well, anyway, what can we do for you today?
Well, while you're talking about the economy, it's almost like what happened in the Soviet Union combined with what happened in Nazi Germany, because the collapse of the American Empire is what we're looking at, because in our country, the Congress has been sitting on their hands, spending money, all on the military empire. We have militaristic fools. I mean, we have think tanks, we have missiles, we have nukes, we have millions of men around the world, we have snooping devices, we have the biggest prison system. It's unbelievable that
The average American has no idea that we have an empire, that we have troops stationed in 130 nations. We control those nations. You have American troops stationed in Germany. Don't you think you're able to pretty well control what happens politically? The same thing is true in Japan. The same thing is true in South Korea. The same thing is true in Iraq. We have our troops stationed all throughout the world, and they're not simply there vacationing, you know, or so they can use the recreational facilities. They are there to control those countries. And the average American doesn't understand. We spend more money on our military than all the other countries in the world put together. And it's part of this age-old plan of using the military power and the financial power of the United States to bring about the one world government, the one world religion, and with the one world leader. People don't understand that. You're absolutely right about the police state. We have 7 million Americans in prison, probation, or parole, and that is far in excess proportionally to what they have in communist China today. Go right ahead.
Well, we almost, even though we're going to be affected, you and me and the thinking people in this country, we're going to be affected as well. But we have to almost pray that it collapses of its own dementia, of its own sickness, of its own ungodliness. I mean, how could, I would say probably 80% of the country is involved in murder. How long can we survive like that in the name of God?
Well, I believe that God is going to bring his judgment on this nation, and maybe the best thing. You may be absolutely right. The only way to save America is if, you know, this whole system collapses. Now, you and I can't influence that, but we can see it unfolding economically. We can see it unfolding certainly from the point of view of morality is concerned. Our school system, certainly are doing a terrible, terrible job. And I really think that we may be not too terribly far from that point of no return, where the whole system is going to have to collapse and we're going to have to then begin rebuilding at the local level.
Yeah, from the ashes of the civilization, maybe we could come back, and for a while we'll remember, you know. I sent you those Arch Obler plays, and I hope at some point in the near future you get to listen to them, because his stories from the 1930s are so poignant, and everything you're seeing today, he worked so hard in his plays to try to get the American people. And one of his stories was, after 1945, and they saw the horrors of Nagasaki and Hiroshima, the people went back into their homes, closed the doors, and soon the world forgot.
And isn't that just so human? Yes, you're absolutely right. And of course, what's even more horrible is to realize that there was no reason for those attacks on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The Japanese have been trying for 6 months to surrender, and anybody who doubts that, you can give us a call at our 1-800-544-8927 number. That's 1-800-544-8927. Just ask for the article out of the Chicago Tribune on August 15, 1945, where they'll tell you the Japanese have been trying to surrender, and we wouldn't let them. They wanted to drop those bombs and kill all those innocent people, because a lot of them were Christians, and of course the people behind what's going on hate Christianity. Hey, do you want to hang on, or shall we let you go?
Yes, I would. I'd like to bring up one more item.
Hey, hang on then. We'll be right back in just a moment.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Introducing the most efficient gravity filter available. You know, if you were to throw 100 ball bearings at a magnet, most would bounce off. But if you placed them on the magnet, all would stick. The same principle applies in water filtration. Most filtration systems force water through the filter at 60 to 90 PSI, causing water molecules to race through the filter in less than a second. The Berkey Light is different. Water molecules take 5 to 10 minutes to pass through the torturous path of the self-sterilizing filters. This allows the proprietary media formulation to remove and reduce pathogenic bacteria, cysts, chemicals, herbicides, pesticides, organic solvents, foul tastes, odors, heavy metals, and nitrates. It is so powerful it purifies raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds.
Get the Advanced Berkey Light Purifier for only $279 by calling New Millennium 888-803-4438 or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Hi, I'm Bobby Lajos with today's Car Clinic Minute. All for One may be about musketeers, but if musketeers or mouseketeers or engineers travel together on the ground, I'll tell you about their One for All when I come back.
I'm Bobby Lajos, and I've discovered a fountain of youth for cars. One reason our cars get old before their time is the same thing that keeps them going, fuel. The carbon deposits left by fuel burned in your engine can choke off its air in fuel mixture, reducing efficiency. The BG Fuel Service removes harmful carbon buildup, dramatically improves power and mileage, and includes BG44K to treat the entire fuel system. To learn more, go to BGFindTheShop.com.
BG. The Three Musketeers may have been all for one, but the mighty bus, a multi-country engineering feat, is the one for all. Short for omnibus, which means for all in Latin, the first bus appeared in Paris in 1662. This eight-seater was horse-drawn, and not until 1831 would steam-driven buses putter around the streets of London. Speaking of which, the first famous double-decker appeared in 1847 and offered half fares to those who climbed onto the open-air second deck. Honors for the first gas-driven motor bus go to Germany in 1895. But today, the omnibus is omnipresent, providing rides for all over the world. I'm Bobby Lajos. Like us, you'll love us. What's better than a tiny tiger in your tank? A tornado under your hood. A tornado is an easy-to-install, maintenance-free air twister designed to increase gas mileage. I personally commissioned independent tests to verify results in 6 vehicles, and all of them gained MPG with tornado. With today's gas prices, it makes sense to cage the gas-saving power of a tornado. Visit TornadoAir.com or go to Pep Boys, Napa, or AutoZone today.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our telephone number is 800-259-5791. That's 800-259-5791. We've got Eddie there in Alabama, but we still got Harvey from Florida. He wanted to bring up something else, so we'll get to Eddie in just a moment or two. And again, if you'd like to give us a call, our number is 1-800-259-5791, and so it's just going to be open lines the rest of the hour. Go ahead, Harvey.
Okay, Dr. Stan. You know, I had touched on this yesterday with your wonderful guest, Colonel Marvin, and they make all these machines of death, and they made the nuclear bombs, and it seems like they always have to use them, don't they?
Yep, they sure do.
And they use them in Nagasaki and Hiroshima, and they always find a reason to use and to try out this wonderful new equipment that this lovely government agency called DARPA brings up. And every 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, they have to use it on human subjects, and sometimes on our own people, don't they?
Yep.
Well, the curse of God is really on all of them, and we have to work very strenuously. Thank God there's a few places where we can speak out to dismantle this whole mess, because in reality, the one time since World War II we ever needed the military for anything, which was on 9/11/2001, they were nowhere to be found, were they? All the billions and trillions didn't do a damn thing, or they held it back intentionally.
They held it back intentionally. In fact, if you read some of my newsletters, you'll find that they knew exactly what was coming down the line, and there was a stand-down order. In fact, one of the men who was at CENTCOM, Sergeant Chavez, actually told the story that there was a stand-down that morning, but nobody wants to talk about it. I don't think there's any question at all.
That's why we must talk about it.
To get into the air to intercept the planes.
That is the ultimate irony, isn't it, Dr.?
It is, and this is why we really do what we do, and why we hope people will go to our website at RadioLiberty.com and pull down our August, September, October, November, and December newsletters. And I believe it's in the December newsletter we tell the story of Mauro Chavez, who, incidentally, after he did an interview with me, he would never do another interview again because of the terrible pressure that was brought to bear on him and his family for daring to tell the truth about what happened that morning.
Well, that's why we must all speak out and tell our neighbors, our friends, and our family the truth about what's really going on before it's too late.
Amen.
Thank you, Dr.
Sam. God bless. Thanks very much, Harvey. And let's go to Eddie. And again, our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. If you're out across America and you'd like to talk on subject, any subject you want to talk about is fine. Hi, Eddie. How are we doing?
I'm doing wonderful, Dr. Stan. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. You're there in Alabama, huh?
Yes, sir, I am.
Are you listening to us on the local radio station or on shortwave or internet?
Internet.
Okay, very good.
But, Dr. Stan, I'll be brief. I've been holding for a while. I'd love to stay on the line with you. I'm going to have to go shortly, but I will be to where I can still listen. But I want to kind of throw something at you. But before I do, I just want to make it known that that we thank God for you and your courage and your strength and your ability to stand firm and uphold the truth. And we thank the good Lord for callers like Harvey that just called in. What a blessing it is to know that there are other people out there that are Christians that are standing firm. And even if they were asleep for a while, I mean, we know now that they've been awoken, and we need that. I know we need it not only for each other, but we need it for the cause of our Lord, because this is perilous time. There's no question about it. And we thank God for you and what you're doing. But what I wanted to throw at you is, given the state of the economy and your medical background, as we all know, I've been a long-time listener. This is the first time I've ever called, but you touched on the economy. It kind of made me think, how do you feel in terms of what's going on with the economy? I mean, from the looks of it, eventually it is going to collapse. That being the case, I just can't fathom in my smallness the professional physicians and nurses out in the medical field throughout this country continually to go to work when they're not going to get paid. That's scary within itself.
Oh, I think it is, and I think, of course, what's happening to the medical profession is a shame. Of course, they've changed the attitude, a lot of the doctors. The older ones of my era, you know, a lot of them retiring. There's still doctors out there who are idealistic. Unfortunately, we've got a lot of young doctors who do not have that idealism. They're not in medicine, you know, to help. It's a job, and they want their other weekends off. They don't want to have to work nights. And well, I just don't know what's going to happen to the practice of medicine. A lot of good doctors, a lot of good nurses out there, but a lot of them that have lost that idealism. And I will tell you what really happens in the socialist countries is everything's done by bribes. I talked to a doctor from one of the countries, I forget whether it was Latvia, Estonia, or Lithuania, but he was getting paid, I think, $200 a month. I said, how can you live on $200 a month? He says, it's all bribes. If you're a patient, you have to bribe the nurse to get to see the doctor. You have to bribe the doctor to get treatment. You have to bribe the pharmacist to get your medicines. You have to bribe the hospital administrator to get in the hospital. Everything is done on bribes because the government doesn't pay enough for people to live. And really, when you lose, the foundation of your society, the moral foundation of your society, this is exactly what happens. In fact, in Russia, even the members of the KGB and the members of the secret police and the members of the military, everybody was there, was corrupt, and everybody was accepting bribes or paying bribes. That was the only way that country functioned. Everything was black market. There wasn't any food. You'd have to stand for hours, in line to get just the very necessities of life. And I fear that before long, why, we will be in that same situation. But maybe God has a sense of humor, and he's going to bring this on us because we're responsible for what's happened in all these other countries. We financed communism from its inception. There was no reason for communism in Russia or in China. And it was brought there by our State Department and our Federal Reserve and our multimillionaires because, of course, they wanted an enemy so they could rally people behind our own government here. And, of course, we needed to have a strong government here to protect us from those wicked enemies out there that we'd actually created. This is what people don't understand, Eddie, and this is our message. We've got the documentation, and we can just get people to get it and read it and study it and look at what's going on, and suddenly it becomes so apparent that most of what we believe just isn't true.
Amen. Nobody could say it any better. That's why we love you so much. Nobody can say it like you, Doc. I want to leave you with one thing. I'm going to have to go,
sure,
but I wanted to ask you one more question.
Sure.
In terms, and I've heard you in the past many times speak on this, but I've got some individuals here, some friends, and we were talking, and I told them you could kind of shed some light. If you feel the need and are able to spend a few minutes on it, it'd be wonderful. These FEMA camps that are here, these underground camps, at what stage do you see them going into fruition, and who were they designed for, what were they designed for? You know the deal, kind of the whole spectrum. I'll leave that with you. Again, God bless you. We love you, and keep up the good work.
Well, God bless you. Thanks very much for calling, Eddie. That was Eddie from Alabama. Our telephone number, of course, is 1-800-259-5791. 1-800-259-5791. Now, we actually have a concentration camp special. We've got videos on the concentration camps. We've got a 4-tape set on the concentration camps. We have material that has come out of the Senate, where members of the Senate were worried about this idea of suspending the Constitution and rounding up people, and they actually declaring a dictatorship in America. We've got something came out in 1973 over the signature of Senator Charles Mathias and Frank Church, Senator Frank Church. And that, you get that if you order the concentration camp special. But the question is, when will these FEMA camps be mobilized? Well, first of all, many of the military camps, military installations, were here in the United States. They were closed down, have been kept. They've changed the barbed wire around so that it'll keep people in rather than out. And many of those military camps are still functioning, have a few guards there, and they are to be used as concentration camps. Secondly, Halliburton was given a $385 million contract a year simply to stand by to be prepared to build a new concentration camps. And if you want the clippings on that out of the paper or the articles, we have them. And then, of course, they have actually undertaken to rehabilitate the old Japanese concentration camps. There were 10 of them that were utilized immediately after the Second World War, where they put the Japanese American citizens. And they were simply the scapegoats for the treachery of our American president, who knew that these people were not a danger, but he wanted to make the Japanese the enemy so that no one would ever look at the White House to find out who it was who had actually facilitated and encouraged the attack on Pearl Harbor and who left the over almost 3,000 men, I think about 2,400 American servicemen, to die at Pearl Harbor. Now, when are these to be used? Well, they're anticipating civilian unrest. And when the civilian unrest comes, either associated with economic problems, most probably with economic problems here, or certainly if the illegal immigrants coming into this country should get the idea they could be mobilized very, very readily into a revolutionary group, certainly our government, Ford Foundation, other of the great foundations are financing La Raza, that means the race, and MALDEV and LULAC, and all of these organizations are basically revolutionary Mexican organizations. It's estimated there is somewhere between 13 and 20 million illegal immigrants in the country. Now, some of them may have left because of the shutting down of the housing industry, the new house industry. But certainly these people could be mobilized into a militant force. And so they've set up these concentration camps, for a civilian unrest, or if the American people were to begin to realize what had happened, why they would have to, of course, to move in and arrest the opposition. We don't know what their plans are, other than the fact that they are planning to use these concentration camps. The laws are on the books that will allow them to use the concentration camps. And we have a talk we'll make available very shortly called the planned police state. That's the planned police state. It's a talk I gave at our last conference, and they're just doing the finishing touches on the DVD for that, and we'll have that available along with the syllabus and all of the documentation for everything we've talked about. But I think if you really want to understand the background of this, we have something called the sampler. It's, I think, $9.95, and it's a short video. But the clip is of the Iran-Contra hearings. And there, Congressman Jack Brooks, B-R-O-O-K-S, Democrat of Texas, is trying to ask the chair, and actually who is a senator in a way of Hawaii, to allow him to question Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North about the fact that Oliver North was working between about 82 and 84 in the White House on a plan to suspend the Constitution and arrest American citizens and put them in concentration camps. And you'll actually hear on this film, it's called The Sampler, and of course it's also an amazing clip as well. But Congressman Jack Brooks is saying, well, I understand, Colonel North, that you were involved in this plan to suspend the Constitution and arrest American citizens. And Senator Inouye keeps interrupting, saying we can't allow this in open hearings. We could talk about it in closed hearings. And he keeps interrupting Jack Brooks. It's a very revealing sequence. And, of course, Oliver North never answers, but we know that he was working on this plan. And, of course, then there's a clip there from Congressman Henry Gonzalez, who is, of course, the chairman of the House Banking Committee for many years. As Chairman Gonzalez says, and the only person who really got close to the truth at the Iran-Contra hearings was Congressman Jack Brooks, because there really is a plan to round up American citizens and suspend the Constitution and put them into concentration camps. So, if you have any questions or doubts, you need to get the sampler. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or you can go ahead and get what we call the Concentration Camp Special, which has a great a DVD in there from our friend David Wagner, and then it has his films on the amazing clips, and it has certainly the report that came out in 1973 over the names of Senator Charles Mathias and Senator the senator from Idaho, Frank Church. talking about how the senators were really concerned that the laws were on the books that would allow the suspension of the Constitution and the establishment of a dictatorship. And so it's so vitally important that you have this information. This is a great Senate report. It is included in our syllabus. But we're not going to offer that at the present time. We want to do some work on it and get it in first-class shape, so it'll be something that you'll be proud to have. We'll be proud to offer it to you. But even more than that, you can show your friends and the clippings about Halliburton being given $385 million a year to stand by to be ready to build concentration camps. What sort of madness is this? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I believe, of course, behind everything going on today are powerful spiritual forces. And I believe, of course, that one day God is going to bring judgment on this country. And many of these people who sit around saying, oh, this couldn't be true, you know, may very well be in the first trucks or the first trains going to the concentration camps. And maybe we'll be there as well. We don't know. Our job is to do our best, to pray as if it's up to God, to work as if it's up to us, to try to reach the American people with the truth about what's going on so that they can join us in this epic struggle to determine whether this nation or any nation under God can long endure. And this is the very essence of what's going on today. There really are people who want a concentration, want concentration camps, who want a dictatorship. All you need to do is read the Military Commission Act and the John Warner Defense Appropriation Act, which actually did away with the Posse Comitatus Act, and even the liberal, a senator from Connecticut, a Democrat, said, this is a blueprint for a dictatorship in America. And I believe that with all my heart. Well, remember our telephone number. It's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. A four-tape set on concentration camps, the concentration camp special, or the video on concentration camps.
Whitebrook and purification elements are more powerful than any gravity filter element on the market. These awesome elements are used in Berkey purification systems, and they can also be used to upgrade most other gravity filtration systems. They can purify raw, untreated water by removing pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, trihalomethanes, and chemicals such as chlorine, atrazine, styrene, and MTBE. These elements also reduce unwanted heavy metals such as lead, mercury, and aluminum. Unbelievably, they even remove small microparticulate from water like food coloring particles. Yet, they leave in the nutritional minerals that your body needs. Moreover, because they are recleanable, black Berkey elements are more economical than the standard disposable elements, providing fresh, pure water for less than 2 cents per gallon.
Get a two-pack for only $99 or a four-pack for only $188 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Hi, Dr. Deagle here from the Nutramedical Report, 2 to 4 p.m. Monday to Friday here on Genesis. You may have heard how relaxing an ionic foot spa can be. The warm, soothing bubbles rushing around your feet. The joy of relaxation. Few people realize how much benefit the ionic cleansing can be to remove toxins from your body. Electrochi Premier Foot Spa helps in cleansing the body of harmful toxins and energizes your cells. Each treatment will electrically recharge you at the cellular level. Your cells become electrically balanced and the cells are oxygenated. Your body will begin to work better. Energy helps your body to purge heavy metals, toxins, and parasites. And with Electro-Chi, your well-being, vitality, and energy and health will improve dramatically, and you'll feel rejuvenated and energized. This is sold at thousands less than your health professional's office. Activate your wellness with a relaxing, energizing detoxification with Electro-Chi Energy Foot Spa. Balance your body's meridians of energy and your wellness today. 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical, N-U-T-R-I, medical.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners out across America that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. We're dependent upon those of you who believe in what we're doing to help us. I'm a retired orthopedic surgeon. I don't get paid, and my wife, who works 12 hours a day, doesn't get paid for what we're doing. We're doing this because we love America. We want, of course, to try to preserve it for generations yet unborn. And so if you believe in what we're doing and you're positioned to help, please give us a call. Or 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or you can certainly write to us. But if you'd like to help, you can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters or simply give a gift, whatever you can afford. We'll certainly appreciate, especially at this time of year when we're hoping to get things all back in order, and we'd like to end this year without being behind. It so often happens. And then, of course, ladies and gentlemen, we want you to get our material. And you can go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. You can listen to many of our programs there. They're archived, and it doesn't cost you anything. You can actually go to the segment that has DVDs on it and watch a number of the DVDs we've produced, and they're free. You can pull down our newsletters and put them into booklets. You can, of course, buy the booklets from us, but you can actually pull down the newsletters, and they're terribly handy, wonderful to have on hand, and certainly I go to them and go through them very often. It reviews the concepts that we've written about in years past, and certainly as the years go by, sometimes you forget a few of the things that you've written. But the newsletters are all well-documented. All the sources of information that we've used are available through Radio Liberty. Then, of course, we want you to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. I do want to mention that we'd like to make up a number of CDs, and if you'd like to get 25 CDs, and I should say 25 DVDs of my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness, they're $99. We're going to stamp them out. This is a limited offer. As soon as we get about 12 people who are willing to put up the money, why, we'll go ahead and run off 1,000 of them. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get 25 copies of Brotherhood of Darkness for $99 plus the shipping, and they'll be nicely packaged, and it'll be an excellent tool that you can use to reach other people, inexpensive, but a great source of information. That's the Brotherhood of Darkness DVD, and the original talk from which the book came. And then, of course, we have our talk on the forbidden secret, and it comes with a syllabus, and it takes you into the secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years. And remember our telephone number. It's 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you want to get the 4-tape or 4-CD set, The Secret Behind the Secret, because it goes into the DVD or the book that Rhonda Burns put out that was featured by Oprah Winfrey, titled The Secret. Well, we're going to tell you the secret behind the secret, because much of what Rhonda Byrne says is absolutely true. There is a secret that's been passed down through the ages, but she tells you that it's the path to wealth and prosperity, and she is absolutely, absolutely right. Many people who get involved with this will do very well. It's like the old name it and claim it type of religion. But what you're doing is put yourself in contact with the beings from the other dimension. And there is another dimension out there, and you don't want anything to do with that. Well, remember our telephone number. It's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And certainly our website is radioliberty.com. Please pray for America, pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive CD book that is your premier resource for hard-to-find information. Find out about everything from job migration to evacuation information, such as major bridges in disrepair and FEMA evacuation time studies for coastal cities. Zero in on man-made disaster zones, environmental areas of concern, and natural disaster zones. Find out everything from where to get water in an emergency to geographic income levels. Housing crisis, complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., full-color photographs, 550 high-resolution full-color maps, and detailed information and analysis that you need. Order Prudent Places USA now for only $29, plus shipping, by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438, or order online at BerkeyWalker.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our guests. And, well, our guest this afternoon is Dr. John Wilkie, who's been involved in the pro-life movement for many years. And he has his own ministry now dealing with the pro-life issues and trying to educate people about the horror of abortion and euthanasia. And one of the things he's been working on for some time has been stem cell research. And, of course, the whole idea was, well, we'll just take these fertilized human eggs and we'll kill them, we'll take the cells out of them, and then we can do embryonic cell research. And Dr. Wilkie has been saying for a long time, look, you don't need to do that. First of all, you really want to take somebody else's DNA and put it in your body because it'll reject it. Certainly there's no evidence that this will help. There are many ways to make adult stem cells, and these can be utilized for some amazing, amazing things. There's nothing wrong with stem cell research, but do you really want to kill a potentially viable human being to accomplish it, when, of course, other techniques will do a far better job and there's no problem with rejection? So with that as a background, John, thank you very much for being with us again.
Stan, glad to be back aboard.
Why don't you go ahead and pick up the story?
Well, I guess maybe we ought to first mention to folks what stem cells are. They've been reading and hearing and that sort of stuff. When you and I went to med school, we didn't even know what that word was, did we?
No, we sure didn't.
No, stem cells. What are they? Well, I guess we just didn't know. They weren't described to us. Well, then about, maybe 20 years ago, time goes fast, but then about 20 years ago, we figured out that if a child came up with leukemia, that we could help them by giving them blood from somebody else's bone marrow. You see, the bone marrow, the center of your breastbone, the center of your long bones, is where your blood is manufactured. And we call that bone marrow. Well, if you can put a needle into that center of the bone, you can suck out some of that bone marrow. Okay. Now, transfusing that into the body of a child with leukemia seemed to help them. Well, that idea continued and got technique improved. And we got to the point about, 10 or 15 years ago, where we were getting pretty drastic about that. And we'd give the child total body x-ray radiation. And what that would do would be to kill off his or her entire blood manufacturing factory. And, of course, left alone, then they would die quickly. But, obviously, that wasn't what was after. So they'd kill off the entire bone blood manufacturing, because that's where the problem was. Leukemia is a cancer of the blood. It's uncontrolled manufacture and growing of certain types of blood cells. Okay, so they'd kill this off, and then they would transfuse some of another person's bone marrow. That'd be a good manufacturing of seeds, if you please. And with luck and close care and so forth, most of these children then would survive, and they would pick up this new blood. Well, maybe they had a type A, which you killed off, and now they've got a type B, but that's just fine. And they don't have leukemia anymore.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Dr. John Wilkie. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. John Wilkie, who's been active in the pro-life movement ever since I can remember. He was trained as a physician about the same time I was. But, of course, more recently he's been putting out a good deal of information on stem cell research. And this idea, oh my goodness, we need embryonic stem cell research, was a lie from the very beginning. There's nothing wrong with stem cell research. You just don't want to kill a viable human being or potentially viable human being to accomplish that. So Dr. Wilkie was giving us the background of where these ideas of stem cells came from, and these are embryonic or immature cells that are responsible for producing other cells, and certainly children have these in their bone marrow. And sometimes these become cancerous and producing leukemia, and so what they would do would be to suddenly go ahead and radiate the child's entire body and kill all the stem cells in their bone marrow. The stem cells which would become eventually white cells and red cells. And then, of course, they would infuse the child with bone marrow from another human being that was somewhat compatible with them. And now they would have be able to begin to produce their own white cells and red cells again, but there was no longer any evidence of leukemia in them. So you pick up the story there, Dr. Wilkie.
Okay. Well, people kept investigating, and then a certain Dr. Thompson up in Michigan was able to isolate from the bone marrow the cells that were doing all that good work, and he called these stem cells. And from there on, it was Katie bar the door, because other people did this, and then the research just continued apace. Well, what they found out then, as time went on, first of all, they could find these cells in other parts of the body, particularly in parts of the body that keep replenishing themselves. So let's take the hair follicle. Your hairs continue to grow. All right, at the base of your hair follicle is a little collection of these kind of stem cells, which then turn into hair cells. So you have these there. Let's take the lining of your nose. These cells are continuously produced by your body, and they then slough off and new ones grow. That lining keeps regenerating itself. Okay, that's a good supply of stem cells.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Dr. Wilkie. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dr. Wilkie was simply saying that after we had found out about, you know, how we could replace those stem cells in children's bone marrow, children with leukemia, then they began to investigate, and they found that at the base of our hair follicles there are stem cells, and they grow and they produce hair. There are cells in our, there's a lot in our nasal cavities, and of course those cells can, there's stem cells there, and they will be, can grow into the epithelial cells that line our nose. So pick the story up there, Dr. Wilkie.
Okay, but of course the hair follicle cells could only produce one kind of a cell, and that was a hair cell. Even so, for things went along, we found out that there were stem cells in fat. Well, golly, we've all got a layer of fat under our skin. There were stem cells in skin. There were, you name it, stem cells are in almost every organ of the body. And then they found stem cells in nerves, the brain cells, and so it went. Okay, what was the next step then? The next step was to take these cells that they found in the various organs of the body and then put them back into the body to see if they could regenerate tissue. Well, now there's about almost every part of your body. If you, let's say, cut your skin, the skin regenerates itself. If you break a bone, the bone regenerates itself. But if you have a heart attack and you have part of the wall of the heart is damaged and destroyed, that does not grow back. All you get is scar tissue. So if you continue to plug up little vessels in the wall of your heart, and we call this coronary heart attacks, little by little there's no more muscle left and you go around and start to die. So the heart muscle doesn't regenerate itself. What else doesn't? Well, the skull cap doesn't. All your bones regenerate except the very top of your skull. And that's why we have to put plates in your head, because the skull does not regenerate. And, of course, then there's also the big one, and those are the brain cells, the cells in your spinal cord and brain. They grow once in your lifetime, and if they die, they're gone. So if somebody has a stroke and they lose some function, too often that's a permanent loss because those cells don't regenerate. Or let's take a motorcycle accident and this young lad cuts his spinal cord. Then he's paralyzed, let's say, from the waist down. But that's been in our past lives, that's been permanent. And forever after that, he no longer can have any use of his lower extremities, of his legs. So, there are some parts of the body that don't regenerate. Another one is a little gland inside your pancreas gland. Now, that's a digestive organ inside of your abdomen. And inside of this are little cells that we call islets of Langerhans. You don't have to remember that name, but you should remember that this little cell makes insulin. Now, insulin is what helps your body burn up the sugars that you eat. And if these cells go bad, you've got diabetes. And then we have to give you that insulin in a shot. So, the islets of Langerhans do not regenerate themselves. So immediately then researchers began to think, hey, if we could take these stem cells, now I know they're only going to make a hair follicle or a lining of the nose, but they're very, very primitive. Maybe if we inject these into, let's say, that pancreas gland, maybe they'll produce some of these islets of Langerhans. And so the experiments went on their way. Now, all of these cells that I'm talking about so far are adult stem cells. They come from your body. We culture them, grow more of them in a test tube. And then we put them back into your body. So, I mean, your body welcomes those. This is the same DNA, the same kind of a genetic composition that all the rest of your body cells are. You know, you can't accept somebody else's glands. We put a transplanted kidney in you, and if we left alone, your body will just destroy that. It'll eat it up. because it's a different kind of a DNA, a different kind of a cell. But if we put your own cells back in, welcome to the party. They are very comfortable growing inside of you. So now the next step was that we used these stem cells that we got from different parts of your body, put them in, and lo and behold, they grew, and they grew some of these cells that don't replenish themselves. A dramatic example of this is a doctor in Portugal who about 2 years ago began to take the cells, the stem cells, from the lining of a young lady's nose. She had had an accident and severed her spinal cord. He put these cells right at the break of the spinal cord. And holy Moses, what happened? That break began to heal together, and she again got some function in her legs. And this was the first time in the history of the world that this had ever happened. So that wonderful doctor over there right now has written about this, and he's treated like maybe 30 or 40 patients this way, and they're in walkers, and they are beginning to get function in their lower extremities, in their legs. And they had, of course, previous to this, been condemned to a life of total paralysis. So the adult stem cells are making just miracles in the things that they are being able to accomplish. This heart muscle, for instance, that's another example. There have been over 100 of these done now. They're still experimental, so if you're a patient, there's not much chance of you getting help yet, but it's moving along. What they've done with these has been to take a heart that's been badly damaged by coronary attacks. Some of the muscle wall of the heart has died. And instead of a muscular wall, all you've got is a little sort of flappy piece of canvas in there. Now, if you inject that deadened area with new stem cells from that man's body, we have found that it starts to grow new muscle in the heart wall. And that had never happened before in the history of the world. And so here we have some patients who were literally confined almost to bed because they couldn't exercise, because their hearts weren't strong enough to handle that. And now they're out there walking, and they're leading normal lives again. So some of these things, as Stan knows so well, are just literally miracles. And these are being done with adult stem cells. And again, that's the word you want to remember, adult stem cells, because these are not incompatible. These are compatible with your own body tissues. More recently, we found a huge number of these cells in the umbilical cord after a baby is delivered. That's the blood in the cord that connected the baby to the mother. And it took blood from the afterbirth and transfused it through that cord into the unborn baby's body. Well, after the baby's born, baby doesn't need that anymore. That's an auxiliary organ. And in years past, we just threw these placentas, these afterbirths, away. Well, then we got around to using them to make vaccine and a few things like that. But now we find that we can take the blood from the placenta, the afterbirth, and from the umbilical cord, and in that is a rich supply of adult stem cells. And so now we're tapping that source to get stem cells and using those to, because they're so very, very primitive, the body, the new person who's getting those stem cells, in this case, is not the newborn baby, but rather another person. So with some reservation, they've been using umbilical cord stem cells to, let's say, transfuse into that person's pancreas organ or something else. And it seems that these are primitive enough that the body, the host body that gets them, is not rejecting them. So that's been a major advance now just in the last year or two. You know, to follow this along is just plain exciting, isn't it, Stan?
It certainly is, and it's really amazing. It's truly miraculous. It just shows you that the whole thing of life is just so remarkable. But anyway, what's happening? Have they been able to help the pancreas at all, or diabetes?
Well, we have had people who were dependent on insulin who have had these cells injected into their pancreas, and these have apparently formed or revivified these insulin-making cells, this islet of Langerhans, and these people then are able to once again handle their own sugar metabolism, the digestion of sugar, and they don't need insulin anymore. Now, I'll tell you, the insulin is, you know, diabetes is something that is the basic cause of premature death of just millions of people.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back with Dr. John Wilkie. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest today is Dr. John Wilkie, and we're talking about some of the amazing things associated with the use of adult stem cells. And certainly, whether you're getting them from the individual, from their fat or from their nose, or whether you're getting it from these stem cells, these very, very primitive stem cells, which are found in the umbilical cord of newborn children, then, of course, the advantage to that is that they do not, of course, get rejection. Ordinarily, if you take something from a child or from anybody else, from another human being, why, you'll get rejection. And this is when somebody gets a kidney transplant, you've got to give them medication, anti-rejection medication they've got to take the rest of their life. So the same thing was happening with many of the stem cell transplants. They were simply being rejected or creating teratomas or all sorts of complications. But this new work with adult stem cells, and it is the adult stem cells they're getting out of the umbilical cords and out of the placenta, is really so exciting. So pick up the story there, John.
Okay, so we first found out that if you took stem cells from your own body, let's say from the lining of the nose, grew them in culture so that you had a lot more of them, and then put it back in your body, that they could repair certain organs that previous to this we had no way to do it all. Most spectacularly, say, a spinal cord break. All right. The next step, which I was just mentioning, is that they then found that the stem cells in the umbilical cord and the afterbirth could be taken from this baby who we just delivered, who is a different person than Uncle Joe over here, and put the baby's stem cells in Uncle Joe's heart, and they would flourish there. And the reason they were was that the cells were so primitive that they apparently didn't identify as a cell of the baby, but then were able to adjust into the heart of Uncle Joe, of the adult. Well, that was a major advance, and that's only been here in the last few years. Okay, so what was the next thing then? All right, the next thing was that the scientists said, look, if these primitive cells work, the even more primitive cell is in the one-week-old human embryo, because each of us began in our lives as a single cell. So let's flap back to that a minute and review. How did your life begin? Your life began, as did mine, as did Dr. Stan's, when a sperm and an ovum got together. The fertilized egg is the result of the conception of a new human being. But at the beginning, each of us was a single cell. Okay? When we were one day old, that cell split into two. And then 4, 8, 16, and on up. We're a billion cells now. But it also was, he or she, was floating down the tube of your mother, your mother's fallopian tube.
Now, John, hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here as we bring our other stations on board. Well, Dr. Stan and Dr. Wilkie has been describing the amazing, amazing result of adult stem cells. But then he wanted to go back to the idea of embryonic stem cells because, of course, there are many, many people who certainly saw that you could use the cells from the umbilical cord of the placenta, and they worked very, very well in different individuals to regenerate the heart muscle or certainly of the islets of Langerhans in the pancreas. And they said, well, see, if the umbilical cord or the placenta will do that, would we be better to use those embryonic cells, you know, that would come from the zygote that's been actually, been fertilized and it's floating down the umbilical cord and it's divided a number of times. It's still very, very primitive. It's not even yet implanted, or maybe it's about to implant on in the wall of the uterus of your mother. What wouldn't it even be better if we were to use the cells from embryonic stem cells? So pick the story up there, John, please.
Yeah, so from the time you were a single cell, for the first week of your life, as your body was becoming more cells, dividing into more cells, you floated freely down your mother's tube. Then, when you were 1 week old, you planted within the nutrient lining of her womb, of her uterus. Now, then you sent roots into the wall of her womb and tapped into her bloodstream. Then you sent a chemical hormonal message into her blood, and that went through her body and went up to a gland at the base of her brain called the pituitary gland. It brought a message to her body, and the message was, "Hey, Mom, I'm here. Don't menstruate." And it was you, through this message, this chemical message that you sent into her body, that stopped her from having the period that would have otherwise been due. So she then didn't have her menstrual period. And why did she stop? You stopped it. Okay, from there on in, pregnancy progresses. So let's flip back then to day one. Day one. Fertilized ovum, a zygote, that's our technical name for it. What is that? That is a complete human body, even though at that point you were only one cell. But you were already male or female. There were 46 human chromosomes, and there were, some of them have male X. They have X and Y, which means male or female. And there were 46 of them. Now, we're the only animal on Earth that has 46 human chromosomes. So, we weren't a rabbit. We weren't a kangaroo. We were human. And we were human from that first cell stage. We were human. We were sexed, boy or girl. We were alive. Of course we were alive. We were growing and developing in a self-controlled, ongoing process. And finally, we were complete because nothing has been added to the single cell whom you and I each once was. Nothing has been added except nutrition and oxygen. For we were totally contained within that first cell. That cell had more intelligence in it than all of the computers at the NASA space station in Houston, for instance. So, all you did, you were sort of like the bud of a flower, and you just blossomed. So, you were, in other words, at the beginning, a complete, living, human. All right. Now, in that living human who you were cells that later turned into bone, muscle, stomach, brain, but at that time were extremely primitive. All right? So this, then, the scientists knew this, and they said, hey, let's get these cells from these very, very early little human embryos, and those are stem cells too, probably. Yes, they turned out to be. All right. Let's use those stem cells. But how do you get them? Well, the only way to, and these are called embryonic stem cells. They're different from adult stem cells. And how do you get these? You get them by cutting open a five-day-old living human embryo and taking these cells from the inside of that tiny developing body. Well, what this does is kill a five-day-old human.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back with you in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess, Dr. John Wilkie, and you were just saying, of course, the only way to get these embryonic stem cells is to kill the five-day-old human who has the potential, if not killed, to go on and be born and live 70 years of age. But now you've decided that in the name of science or whatever it would be, you're going to kill this unborn human being. Go ahead, pick the story up, Dr. Wilkie.
So, this is, people obviously didn't all agree with this. We just don't go around killing people in order to help others. We don't do it with adults, and we don't do it with children or babies, and we shouldn't do it with embryonic humans, because they're just as human as you and I. In fact, we each once were one of those things, little embryos. So, but even so, some scientists don't give a doodly darn about killing people. They think abortion is okay, and abortion kills a bigger human than these embryos are. So they said, let's kill these very young embryos. Let's take out these embryonic stem cells, and let's use these. Wow, they are so primitive, so early, that they probably won't be rejected if we inject them into a patient's body. Like if you put a kidney in their body, they'd reject it, unless you keep some kind of chemicals going to prevent that. You'd use embryonic stem cells, they'd very likely flourish, like we just mentioned a few minutes ago, from the embryonic, from the umbilical cord cells. Well, it wasn't quite that way. They tried it in animals, and animals rejected these because it was a different body cell, was a different DNA. Well, maybe we can get around that. Let's keep trying. So they started to experiment, and as science does, they did it on animals. Well, then they ran into another problem. These things grew wild. They couldn't control them. You see, if you take an adult stem cell, let's say from the nose lining, it'll grow more nose lining. But if you put it into the man's heart, it'll grow heart cells. But if you put, you're trying on mice now or on guinea pigs or something, but if you put it in, let's say, an animal's heart, something else happens. It is so primitive that we can't yet know how to control what it'll turn into. Let's give you the first example that was out there.
All right, you hold that. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, Dr. Wilkie was simply talking about what happens, essentially, when you use these embryonic stem cells, and you would think that they would be just like the umbilical cord or the placental stem cells, and they would certainly tend to grow in the heart, grow heart muscle, I could put in the pancreas, in the islands of Langerhans, but that isn't what happened. And when you begin to put them in, they say put them into the heart tissue with the hope that they'd grow new heart muscle, these embryonic cells would simply go wild and they'd grow into, well, I'm going to let Dr. Wilkie tell you what happened when they began taking these embryonic cells and putting them into human beings or even into animals. What happened, Dr. Wilkie?
Well, they haven't used them in any humans yet in the United States because, well, we always experiment on animals first. But here was a gentleman in China who had Parkinsonism. That's a disease where you begin to have some deterioration in your brain and you begin to get your shaking, uncontrollable tremors and shaking of your hands, and your head will often shake, and then you begin to lose your balance so that you can't walk regular and you have a rather rigid way of walking. And this is due to something going wrong in the brain. Okay, so they decided they'd inject some stem cells into his brain and maybe that would help. Well, a year later, this poor guy died of a brain tumor. And what had happened was that these embryonic stem cells had flourished, but they had turned into muscle, bone, I think kidney, skin, and formed a tumor of many of these skin, of these cell types, and the tumor killed him.
And that's what we used to call a teratoma. That was a tumor made up of all these different embryonic cell types. And so, this was really a terrible complication here. They're trying to help this poor guy, and instead of that, they give him a brain tumor, and it kills him. Go ahead.
Yeah, and as Stan says, that's what we call a teratoma. Well, they were afraid then, after this, to be using them in humans because they didn't want to go around killing people with tumors. So up till this time, embryonic stem cells have not yet been used to treat humans. Now, that's dramatically different than the adult cells we've been talking about, who there's about 80 different diseases now that they've tried adult stem cells on, and they work. Remember now, the adult stem cell came from you. We took them out of your body. We cultured and got a lot more of them. We put them back in your body. Your body welcomed them. Embryonic stem cells come from another human, this tiny new human embryo. You can culture them. You get a lot more of them. You put them in your body, and they turn into tumors. Because they are so primitive, we can't control their growth. So that really put a chill on this. Well, there was one other problem with this. An example was a lady who died here. She willed her organs to be used as transplants for people who need it. And her organs went to four different people, the cornea of her eye, her kidney, so forth and so forth. Well, don't you know, she had a latent infection in her body that they didn't know about and that her body had kept under control. These four people, she infected them with this and three of them died. Well, let's just assume that the little embryo mother had AIDS and the embryo contains those AIDS viruses. Now we transplant that into another person. Hey, that person gets AIDS. So you can transplant an infection by using somebody else's cells. Of course you can't. If you use your own, you just get back what you have. So these were reasons why embryonic stem cells have not been used in humans.
But you know, Dr.
That doesn't stop science.
But, you know, one of the most amazing things is that the listening audience out there, many of them, you know, if you think back, they've never heard what you're telling them today. All we hear is this argument, should we use embryonic stem cells? Should we try to help people? embryonic stem cells are great and wonderful, and only very within the last few weeks have we even heard about some of the miraculous results that have come from adult stem cells. But for years they've been arguing the wrong issue, as if somehow they wanted to justify killing unborn children. So it's so refreshing to hear the real story of what's going on, rather than the propaganda that comes from the controlled media. So
you, and of course, you're broadcasting from California,
right?
And you're the biggest example of this in the world.
We put out $3 billion that people voted to spend $3 billion for embryonic stem cell research, with no justification at all for it, other than the fact that Michael Fox and, you know, had come on and said, oh, if we did this, maybe I could get over my Parkinson's disease. And then we had the fellow Christopher Reeves, who was quadriplegic, and, oh, if we just put this out, this $3 billion, maybe I could walk again. But he'd never walk again, because with the embryonic stem cell research, if there was any hope at all for him, it would have been the adult stem cells. And they still haven't told the people of the state of California, you were conned. That $3 billion is going into the coffers of scientists who are making out like bandits right here. And they were the ones behind this state initiative, and they're the ones who are getting the $3 billion. You go right ahead, Dr. Wilkie.
And, of course, the money for that referendum, the thing that passed it, largely came from Silicon Valley, from a number of billionaires there who had children with juvenile diabetes. And they were told that if they anteed up enough dough to get this passed, and then they did enough research on it, that in the kid's lifetime they'd learn how to cure juvenile diabetes. Well, that was really a heart tugger, and they collected a lot of money, and they pulled the wool over the eyes of your voters in California, and then they passed this thing. But that's been 3 or 4 years ago now, and so far there's been no progress at all, and there probably won't be. And the reason is what Stan has just hinted at. We have had a major, major advance here just in the last month. And that is that the original fellow in Michigan, Dr. Thompson, who originally isolated the first stem cell, has now shown us another way to get embryonic stem cells. And he's published in a very prestigious medical journal, at the same time that another scientist from Japan, whose name I can't pronounce, did the same thing in another journal, the Journal of Science, the Journal of Cell. And what they've come up with has been that they've been able to take skin cells. Now, you're the patient. We're working with your cells. We're taking your skin cell, and we're messing around with the genetic makeup of your cell. Now, this is a skin cell from your body. And by altering the genes in those stem cells, they're able to take mature cells, your stem cells, and turn them into embryonic-like cells, which are still your own cells. And this has been apparently proven, published now in two of the most prestigious medical journals there are. No faking anything here. And it looks like, and this is preliminary in fact, it looks like these are going to have the same properties as the embryonic stem cells that otherwise you could only get by killing a five-day-old human. Well, we don't have all the answers yet. But what this does is bypass this moral problem of killing humans, and it says we're going to use your own cells, not another person's cells. And so that then would get around the rejection that you would have from a transplanted organ from somebody else. Now, it doesn't solve all the problems. They still may cause tumors. We don't know this yet. But you want to believe there's going to be frantic research going on this all over the world, and we're going to be probing that question very soon now and probably getting some answers before we check out here and leave this good earth. So, you know, one thing here has built on another. And now this latest advance, and what we have had has been articles in major, all right, we had one in Human Events. We've had one in the Weekly Standard. We've had the Krauthammer article that came out. And they're all saying the same thing. This is the end of the argument over embryonic stem cells, because now we don't have the moral issue of killing tiny humans in order to get embryonic stem cells. Now, whether these new ones are going to work or not, we don't know. But repeat, we are past the moral issue, and we're past rejection of transplants. What we've got left is whether or not these new guys are going to form tumors. And that's a big one. That may still stop the whole embryonic thing, but it may not. Since these are your own cells, it may be that this won't happen. This we still have to find out.
Well, they're really such exciting times to live, and really the idea of...
So time goes on, and as long as we live, we keep learning a few more things about this.
I think the ability to help the diabetic, I think, is one of the most exciting things. The ability to, you know, to heal a spinal cord, even if they only get partial function, if they can get any function at all. I mean, this is truly a miracle.
We have had experiments published in Brazil of using adult stem cells in juvenile diabetes. And these children now are apparently healed. I don't know if these billionaires in Silicon Valley have heard about this yet or not, but it was done with adult stem cells, not embryonic. And you know what I read just a couple of days ago, Stan?
What?
It seems that the committee that's spending the money, the $3 billion in California, has decided that maybe they'll spend a few of those dollars on adult stem cells.
Well, I'll feel a lot better about that. I just hated to see that $3 billion wasted, because it's going to have to be paid back one of these days. And I think it was pretty much of a scam. And, you know, it was really, of course, so the scientists could get all their hands on that money. That's what it was all about. They put a lot of money and effort into getting that legislation passed and, you know, getting the people in Silicon Valley to finance it. But in the end, it was the scientists who were going to get their grubby little hands on that money. I'm glad to hear now that they're beginning to say, well, maybe we ought to begin looking into the adult stem cells, because even when they were passing this state initiative on embryonic stem cells, there was a great deal of evidence at that time that adult stem cells was the way to go. But nobody told the public.
But, you know, scientists will be scientists. They explore the unknown, and God bless them for it. Scientists want to find out more in their probing and in their experimentation. And all of that is good. But there is a limit to what you do. You know, the old story of Frankenstein, this guy was a scientist. He was a crazy scientist, and he produced Frankenstein, who was half human and half monster. And everybody back then could say, oh, yeah, but that wasn't good science. That was bad science. Well, we've had our share of bad science on a very microscopic level here lately. But even with this new information now, we've had a few scientists say, yes, but we should still keep on exploring this other stuff. And they've got the money to do it, so I guess it'll keep going. But it may well be that that's money down the tube.
Well, I fear that it is, but I think it certainly the adult stem cells seems to have so much promise to be able to reconstitute a heart, to be able to reconstitute the islands of Langerhans and the pancreas, to be able to reconstitute, you know, Sydney, the possibility of Parkinson's disease. Have they done anything with Parkinson's disease, you know, with the adult stem cells?
We can produce Parkinsonism in rats, or is it in monkeys? They know how to do that now. There's a drug that starts that thing off. So they now have, living models of an animal who has Parkinsonism. So now that they've got that, they're using various drugs, and they are, I'm sure, using stem cells to try and cure the thing that they just caused. Okay, that's where it is. They use animal models first. If, in fact, they're successful in what they're doing, and that's a good shot that it might be, then we're going to start seeing some controlled trials in humans. Now, there's an interesting thing about this. You also hear that it'll help Alzheimer's. Almost certainly no. You see, diabetes is a disease where one type of cell gets out of whack, doesn't work. Parkinsonism is a disease where one kind of cell gets out of whack. It doesn't work. It doesn't produce a particular chemical that's needed to run the brain. If you have a disease that is a problem of one cell, and you can treat the one cell, obviously, maybe you can do some good here. Alzheimer's is a multicellular disease, and it's a deterioration of many cells in the body, in the brain. So, we don't know this for sure, but from the looks of it, in what we know now, it looks as though stem cells will not be able to help Alzheimer's.
Well, before we complete this part of the program, I want you to get your website out. How can people get in touch with you and get in touch with your ministry?
Well, we have a website. It is the three W's, and then lifeissues.org. LifeIssues.org.
LifeIssues.org. Do you have a telephone number?
Yeah, it's 513-729-3600.
Hold on. All right, you want to give that telephone number one more time?
It's 513-729-3600.
All right, we've got about 2.5 minutes to wrap up the program. What is the message you would like to leave with our listeners out across America, out across the world?
The message is that we should not proceed with embryonic stem cell research that kills a 5-day-old human in order to get those cells. The message is that adult stem cells from many organs of your body are now available for research to help problems in your body, and we should continue to work on those. They're a blessing from the Lord, and God bless him for letting us know some of this stuff in our time. There's one other quickie here, and that is cloning. Now, cloning is another whole story. We don't have time to talk about it, but what they wanted to clone people for was to get a lot of embryos and then to be able to kill them and use them. So with this new discovery that we've just talked about here, there's a good chance that we won't be hearing the so-called need to clone humans. We've never cloned a human. We've cloned Dolly the sheep. We've cloned monkeys. We've cloned horses. But we haven't been able to clone humans, and God willing, I hope they don't keep trying on that one. So, the new discovery that's giving us embryonic-like cells from your own skin very likely is going to dampen the ardor and the demand to try and clone humans. And I certainly hope, Stan, that that's what's going to be happening there.
Well, I hope it will, too. Unfortunately, we have a lot of people who've lost respect for human life. They look upon human life as human resources. They look upon people as certainly something to be experimented on, just as you would a cow or a horse or something else, without ever realizing that every human being is a unique creation made in the image and likeness of God. Isn't it a shame we've taken God out of the equation? Well, Dr. Wilkie, thank you so very much, and always look forward to having you with us. Do you think we could do a program on cloning sometime?
I think so.
All right, very good. We'll look forward to it. God bless you, and thanks very much for being with us, as always. Have a
thanks.
Wonderful,
thanks.
Wonderful...
It's been a privilege.
Have a
Dan.
Wonderful, wonderful
thank
Christmas
you.
Season. Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I hope that you enjoyed our interview with Dr. John Wilkie. I consider it a privilege to consider Dr. Wilkie as a friend. We've spent a good deal of time together at international meetings and national meetings. He's a man who loves the Lord and is doing a wonderful, wonderful work, and gave up a very successful medical practice to go full-time into this effort to save the unborn child. And a wonderful, wonderful source of information. And if you'd like to get more information, remember his ministry is www.lifeissues.org. Lifeissues.org. Well, this is the time when we have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And if you're out there in the listening audience and you agree with our message and you're in a position to help, why, we'd love to hear from you. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we wanted to mention that we need to make up more of my DVDs on the Brotherhood of Darkness. So if you'd like to get 25 copies of Brotherhood of Darkness, you can get 25 copies of the DVD for $99, and then you can afford to pass them out or lend them and introduce people to this whole idea of the secret societies and secret organizations that work behind the scenes. So give us a call of 1-800-544-8927, and if you'd like to get 25 copies of the DVD, and if you want to make that pledge, why, we'll, of course, as soon as we get to about 10-15 people, why, we'll close it, won't open it up again. And of course, if you want the DVD, why, you'll have to pay the regular price. But we did this before, we got a great response, and so if you're out there in the listening audience, you'll get 25 copies of Brotherhood of Darkness DVD, nicely packaged, for $99. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we hope that you'll want to get the book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or you can get the DVD if you want to by itself. We hope that you'll want to get my talk on the forbidden truth, the forbidden secret, because there really is a secret that's been passed down through the secret societies for 5,000 years. In fact, if you were to get Rhonda Byrne's DVD or book on the secret, she'll tell you exactly the same thing. Only she thinks the secret is wonderful and that you should learn it and apply the law of attraction and it'll transform your life, and it really will. But, of course, it can cost you your eternal soul as well. So, remember, this has been featured by Oprah Winfrey and by Larry King and on many of our major television programs, and millions of Americans have been taken in by this false teaching. Because what you're doing is you're putting yourself in touch with the beings from the other dimension. And that's the last thing that you want to do. We hope, of course, you'll want to get the videos, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version, because many of our leading performers really have sold their souls to the devil. We hope that you'll want to get the very professional DVDs, the Secret of America's Beginnings, or Riddles in Stone, the excellent DVD that we produced entitled Yet a lattice connection put forward by the producer of those two previous videos is, as Chris Pinto talks about this dream that America would become the new Atlantis and would lead the world into this new world order and new world religion. And then the DVD by Constance Cumby of the emergence going into the background of the world leader. They're all ready to bring the world leader onto the scene. A four-tape set with Constance Cumby, or four CD set. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Because America is under attack today.